Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be talking about is History of Evil, directed by Bo Mirhoist. Corey.
Bo? Mirhoseni?
Oh, I think you nailed that this time. Mirhoseni. Okay, let's go with your way. Bo right. Mirhoseni. Written by Bo Mirhoseni, starring Jackie Cruz as Allegra Diaz, Paul Wesley as Ron Dyer, Rhonda Johnson-Dense as Trudy, Murphy Bloom as Daria Dyer. Plot of this movie is a family on the run from a corrupt state takes refuge in a safe house with an evil past. But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I got to do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil. And dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you got to look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us. And like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local too. They're based out of Connecticut. So help them out and support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have. With that said, 30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of History of Evil?
Man, you and I briefly talked about this before we started recording, but I feel like I watched an hour and a half of a movie and nothing happened. I was so checked out pretty much immediately in this movie, and I hate to say it because, again, the trailer got me, but I was very let down by this movie.
Well, let me ask you this then. Was there enough decapitated head fucking in it?
There was none, and that really hurts my rating.
Negative 50 out of 5 for Corey immediately.
Yeah. It already has to climb back in my rating book. So
exactly. So I didn't read into it too much. Kind of went in a little blind. I think I watched the trailer. Didn't understand much of what was going to happen. The premise I thought was cool. It was it's not a post-apocalyptic deal. It's like, it's a police state where, from what I gather, is that everyone is now super religious and the people that are the rebellion, they're not. That's what I was kind of getting out of it. It seemed like their leaders were like very Christian and like you're praying to them, that type deal where the rebels, I don't know, they're still doing their own thing. They're living the old way, the normal way, I guess. So that's kind of what I was getting out of this. But they didn't really dive too much into it. They just kind of had that as a backdrop. I mean, did you feel that way?
Yeah, I mean, they kind of touched on it in the beginning when Allegra is getting out of prison and she's being released by, I'm assuming, a corrections officer.
Yeah.
We really never find out why she was in jail. I assume she just did something to piss off these religious people. But those officers later on came to the house looking for her. You're right, though. They recited like a prayer or something.
Yeah. Well, we do find out later on that she wrote a book and that's why she was in jail.
Because she wrote a book?
Because
I remember this now, yeah.
Okay, so she wrote a book, pissed a lot of people off, got thrown in jail. Like, that's the whole police state deal. So I thought it had actually kind of a Purge-type feel to it without, like, the absolute insanity. So the Purge, you know, with the Founding Fathers and all that, and everyone, it wasn't like a religious thing, but everyone almost kind of looked at them as like these religious deities when they believed that much into their government. And it's almost kind of like how they were in this film too. They were very pro-government. Like everyone was pro-government minus the select people, which were considered terrorists because they just didn't want to treat their government like gods.
Yeah, so I don't recall them ever explaining why the world was in the state that it was in.
They did something at the beginning, like a quick little blurb, black screen, before it went into the movie itself. But I don't think it really conveyed what the hell was happening, why we were really in this world of police state, almost borderline apocalyptic. I'm going to say apocalyptic because it's like completely different than the norm. It's control. Like if the end of the world happened, there would be a whole new group of people that would create something based on a certain set of ideals, and they would say that's the norm. That's kind of like what happened here.
So it's funny we're talking about that because I just finished watching Fallout. You and I briefly talked about this. The show is fucking awesome. You should check it out. But it's the same idea. Like a big bomb goes off. And then these people, the survivors, have to basically learn how to live in a post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah. How do you feel about living in a post-apocalyptic world?
Dude, I think it'd be fucking awesome.
You think so?
Yeah.
Like everybody, the fucking Wild West?
Everybody I hate would be dead, hopefully.
Cool, I'm fucking dead.
Yeah, you're the first one to go.
I'm the first to fucking go. Everyone just get in line.
And just like Fallout, we would live underground in vaults, and it would be awesome.
Could be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Could be Fallout. Could be, what's that Brendan Fraser movie where he was like living in a bunker with Alicia Silverstone? Last one in the past?
Clueless?
No, yeah, Clueless, that's all.
Honestly,
completely accurate.
I do not remember. It wasn't The Mummy. It wasn't Clueless. What else has Brendan Fraser been in?
Oh, God, everything. Probably one of my personal favorite, The Scout. You ever see that one?
I don't think so. I'm not burst up on my Brendan Fraser movies.
You gotta fucking get up to date, man.
So it's funny you say Brendan Fraser because did you watch Doom Patrol?
I haven't.
He played, now I can't remember the character's name in the movie.
Didn't he play a robot or something?
Yeah, it was a robot, but his voice... I thought there was a character in Fallout when he was wearing power armor in the show. Sounded exactly like Brendan Fraser.
No, no shit. He just makes a little cameo.
Yeah. I don't know.
You know, three people have said to me, hey, Steve, have you checked out Fallout yet? No, but apparently I have to check it out because everyone I'm talking to has seen it and loves it.
Yeah.
So I guess I need to get on it. I've been stuck on Suits. That's my problem.
Yeah, I have to go back to Suits. We got not even finished the first season, so.
Oh, fuck, dude. Okay. You got to get to work. Okay, so this is a horror movie podcast, and we're talking Suits and Fallout.
You know what's funny? Someone texted me on today, actually, and they said they were listening to our review on whatever the fuck movie we did last week. I don't remember now.
Oh, Baghead.
Baghead, and they go, you know what's funny? You and Steve did everything you could not to talk about that movie.
That's basically what we're doing right now.
It's happening again. So, we didn't even get to our scores yet. And I'm sure everyone knows how we feel about it.
Yeah, it's... we can go into the whole spiel then. So, I'll try my best. I'll go through my notes. You took about 5 notes. I took about, I don't know, 24 usually. But
yeah, I had nothing that I wanted to really write about.
Same thing. Same for me. I was just watching this movie and... What I was gathering from this movie is it felt really like there was a lot of influence from The Purge, which I like just mentioned with the whole Founding Fathers type deal. The Shining, because there were these scenes where, you know, in The Shining, where Jack is going down to the bar and he's talking to the barkeep and it's like he thinks someone's actually fucking there and he's clearly going crazy. He's diving into madness. So there was a lot of scenes like that in this movie. And then Amityville Horror as well, because the whole movie, the husband is going more and more into madness. And it's all because of this place. So I felt like this movie was basically a hodgepodge of those three movies with nothing really redeeming to it.
So it's funny you say that because several times I was thinking, is the stuff and the things and the people that Ron are seeing, are they real? Especially with that scene where that random naked dude just walks in the house and smears some shit on Ron's lips.
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
I don't know, but Ron like knew that he was seeing shit. A lot of weird shit happens to him throughout the movie, but he's always so calm. He doesn't freak out.
So weird. Listen, if someone came into my house half naked and was just looking at me, you better believe I'd be fucking socking him. I'm not going to just sit and have like a staring contest at this guy.
Yeah. So then we see him, you know, meet this random naked person, and then he meets that old guy in the kitchen, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
So he's talking to this old guy, and the old guy just fucking is going to cook him breakfast or some shit. And he goes, first, take this piece of bread and go upstairs and slide it through the slot in the door for someone.
Exactly.
What the fuck?
And he's like, okay, no big deal.
Yeah, just putting a piece of bread through a slot in the door in my own fucking house.
Yeah, BRB, AFK.
Yeah.
Gonna slide this bread in, like, actually, it wasn't even, like, a slot or nothing like that. You know, like, the bottom, like, where doors have, like, those two kind of indents. I don't know what those indents are called. People know that it's called something. But it, like, opened up, and he put the bread in, and then just kind of fucking walked away. So this husband, for someone who's on the run and trying to protect his family from these people that are super religious and into their government, he fucking did an awful job of it. Let me tell you.
Yeah, he sucked.
Yeah, he was awful. You know, just walking around the house and he sees like just random, I think ghosts. They got to be ghosts.
It's like he became the main character in this movie too, because when it starts, you kind of think that Allegra's going to be. But it was all about basically Ron having an acid trip for an hour and a half.
And you know what? I thought the same thing. I was like, okay, so I thought Allegra was going to be the main, like, part of this movie, like, the main focus. And then just out of nowhere, the husband, like, main focus. I guess is the only reason for her to even be in there is that she wrote a book and then he got her out of prison. It just seems, like, almost misleading.
Yeah,
I don't know. Then, it's very weird.
It's weird, and then they also throw in the character Trudy, who was, what is she? Is she militia?
Yeah, she's like part of the resistance. I'm going to say resistance. I think that's the word.
I think that's what they were calling them anyways.
The resistance. Okay, so she was like kind of almost an enforcer, if you think about it. Keeping them safe, their protector, that type deal. She knows her shit. She's ready for this whole mess. So she was protecting them. That's what Trudy's job pretty much was. She was just like the enforcer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
she was kind of a useless character when it was really all about Ron flipping out.
That's all it was. You know, Trudy was just hanging out, doing her thing, you know, just making sure the whole family's good. Meanwhile, you got fucking drones flying around. And I thought like their idea of camouflage was pretty cool. You know, they were wearing those fucking poncho looking things that look like, you know, the woods. And as soon as they heard a friggin' drone flying by, they're like, lay down. And it, I guess, blended in with the ground. Even though drones now, man, are so smart. And I'm assuming this is in the future anyway. So those things are probably like, nope. I know that's a human.
Yeah, there's no shot they would have been able to hide like that. No. Granted, they were wearing camo and it was basically hunting camo.
Yeah, that's all it was. Even fucking deer can see hunting camo.
Right.
Whatever. So Trudy, I don't know. I didn't hate her character, but I think that she might have been a little old to be the person that's like the enforcer for her whole family and making sure that no one fucks with them.
Yeah, you're right. Like, and I don't know. I just feel like her character didn't really serve a purpose in regards to the story that they were trying to tell.
Yeah. And the story, by the way, is all, I believe, undertones of the Ku Klux Klan, good old KKK.
Yeah, because they find that box with the in the hole in the wall when they were replacing the valve so they could get clean water.
Mm-hmm.
They find a box on the wall that for some reason just has a Ku Klux Klan costume in it.
Oh, yeah.
And then Daria takes it and wears it. Why?
I don't know. I really don't know. Like, and this is what I thought was cool, though. Like, the background stuff. I love background stuff.
So right? I know, and I noticed that. Like, there's that one scene when they first find it, and you can see Daria in the background. She's just like a blurred child in the background just wearing this costume. I thought of you as soon as that happened. I was like, Steve's losing it right now.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm absolutely losing it. I didn't realize it was her, though. I thought it was just some sort of entity or maybe a kid that lived in the house that grew up on that racist undertone background, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, the whole movie has to do with racism. And then later on turns out to be, I don't know, religiousism? I don't know. I'm going with religiousism.
Okay.
Sure. That's not a word. I know it's
not.
You heard it
here first, folks. Religiousism.
Yeah.
Steve's going to City Hall tomorrow to copyright that.
REM. I'm already on legal Zoom. Done.
Yeah, it's yours?
Yeah, I guess.
Sweet, you did that quick.
I know. I need like I have one of those Steam decks you know, where you like just push a button and it does all these fucking commands and shit. I got to do that for like copywriting stuff immediately. Just like, oh, that's a good idea. Boom, copyright done.
Why didn't you come up with this?
I don't fucking know.
With
man.
This thought like a year ago when we started
this thing. I don't know.
You know how much shit we could have copyrighted?
I just think of these things on the fly and I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense. I should have done that.
Yeah. We could have been making money for once.
Yeah. You imagine if like all these stupid ideas I just came up with and all these dumb theories and shit that just comes true and I've just copyrighted every single one of them and they do it. I'd be like, well, Corey, I guess we got another paycheck this week.
Think of all those band reunions and those movies that we've manifested.
I know. Oh, man. We'd be doing all right. We're
all
just
right, Necrophages, get back together, please. Release the album.
Yeah, let's make it happen. Necrophage 3. Electric Boogaloo-y. I don't know.
Muhammad, release it. Steve says so.
Muhammad, you know what you got to do. I know you listen to this podcast. Make it happen.
You should sue him if he doesn't release it within like the next year.
Yeah, because I'm the prophet.
Yeah, brush up on suing bands on LegalZoom when
we stop doing this. Yeah, I'll go on LegalZoom, talk to them, and be like, well, you're not even part of this fucking band. You can't really sue them for not putting out an album.
You can try.
You can try. You absolutely can try. If I've learned anything from Suits, you can try. But you may not be successful.
That's right. You watch so much Suits, you're basically a lawyer now anyway.
Yeah, I'm a profit lawyer. It sounds like a sitcom on NBC.
Yeah, you should write a script for that, actually.
Oh, man. Oh, God. Yeah, all right.
You might
I'm
have
on it.
Something there.
I'm on it. Like, what's the point of having a profit lawyer? He's just right all the time. I think everyone's going to watch that. They'd be like, this is the dumbest show ever, and I'm dying laughing.
It would be as popular as Everybody Hates Chris.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. You wouldn't get canceled after one season. It'd be great.
Yeah, I think I might get a season or two out of it. Hey, whatever. It's good paycheck.
Try it.
Yeah, I'll try it. I'll see what happens. Okay, so we're talking about how this whole movie has racist undertones and religiousisms, whatever.
Did you just have a stroke?
Yeah, that. Religiousism. There it is. It's already copyrighted, everyone. It's going on a t-shirt.
All right.
Yeah, so we were talking about how this random naked dude is just walking in the house, and then, Corey, I immediately thought of Gracie when the fucking dog woke up and saw that the door was open and then went outside. I'm like, aw, Gracie's best friend is clearly gonna die.
Yeah, that happened.
It happened, but we don't know how. So for all we know, the dog just went up and left, just got naked, took the collar off, went on its merry way.
The dog got naked?
Yeah, it took the collar off because that's all they found was the collar.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So dog took the collar off, was like, I'm good. Peaced out. Didn't want to be there. I don't blame him. But, you know, when you hear the yelping, you're like, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad they didn't show it. I'm just glad they didn't show it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad we didn't have to see that because I don't want to see that animals dying thing anymore in movies.
Yeah, but no, Gracie's smartened up, though. She knows. She knows what's up.
Yeah. She does.
Yeah.
She's good.
So hopefully she figured out that it's just a movie.
It doesn't change anything, though. Nothing changes when there's animals on the TV.
No, that's true. Imagine living as a dog where both reality and TV just seems like the same exact thing.
I do that as a human.
Yeah, you're like, whoa, this is real.
Yeah.
Why am I watching reality on this box?
Isn't that the point of, like, reality shows?
Those aren't reality, my friend.
They're real.
They're real on paper, quote, end quote, real.
Were you trying to tell me Jersey Shore isn't real?
No, it's not real.
What do you mean? Those things actually happened.
So what? It's all fabricated.
Did I tell you I got banned from Twitter a couple years ago for telling Snooki to kill herself?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Corey. Jeez.
I regret that one.
Yeah. That's not a good one. But hey, as long as you regret it-ish, you're good. You're fine. Isn't that the beauty of First Amendment? Freedom of speech?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's the beauty of freedom of speech. Except there is no freedom of speech, apparently, in this world. You can't even write a book and then, like, without being labeled as a terrorist.
No. So. No, they don't like that in this movie.
No, they don't. So the husband starts going, like, further and further into depravity, and the homeowner, was his name Kane? I can't remember. I think it was Kane, as in, like, Kane's Pies, whatever. Mm-hmm. So he was the one that was half naked walking into the house. And he's also the one that the husband is having this whole, I don't want to say relationship, but we'll say like almost friendship with, just talking to him and like getting to know him. And Kane was like trying to tell him that he needs to be a man and that he's the man of this house and, you know, shouldn't let your wife talk to you a certain way. And so that's when he started like becoming like a real big dick. And he was just always on his wife's case, you know, just being almost like verbally abusive to her. And it just kept happening. It kept happening. And then it got to a point where she actually, he was outside and he had a rope. Corey, this part I thought was fucking ridiculous.
You know, I had a feeling basically Ron was convinced to try and kill his wife.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what was happening. He was just he was convinced to try to kill his wife, and he almost did. He, you know, threw that rope around her and threw it over a tree and was trying to, like, you know, hang her. But then Trudy got the fucking drop on him. So him and Trudy, they got in this whole scuffle. He grabs the gun and he's about to shoot her. And Allegra's hanging out there trying to plead with him to not do it. The daughter comes out. Everyone's there. They're all trying to plead with him to put the gun down. And what do you think he does? Takes the gun.
Right in his mouth.
Yep. Unalives himself. Right in front of his family.
Just quit life.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to shoot the kid.
I thought that too. Oh my God. Could you imagine?
My dead kid meter started warming up there. I thought it was about to happen. And then he just turned it on himself.
Yep. So, yeah, your dead kid meter just started flickering a little bit. Like,
yeah.
Your score was about to go up a tick, and then it just dropped.
Yeah. Spider senses were tingling, but yeah. The dead kid meter, you know?
Exactly. You're like, oh, fuck. Oh, yeah. Especially like that.
No, don't do that again.
Don't do that again?
No.
No. All right, I won't. So, yeah, he unalives himself. They freaking throw a cloth over him, whatever. And they go in the house. And they get spotted by the drone, right? And that's when all fucking hell breaks loose. So all those guys that were trying to, like, enter the house earlier, they wanted to see if there were any resistance in the house or in the area because they thought they saw something with the drone. So they're back, and, you know, they're all in the house. Two of them die from these ghosts. And I'm thinking to myself this whole time, like, why didn't the ghosts kill the people in the house already? Are they protecting these people now? Are they expecting them to stay?
They had to have been.
Like, that's the only thing I can think of. Like, these ghosts all of a sudden were like, you're cool in our book.
You can stick around, human.
Yeah, you can stick around. You're fine. Just, we'll take care of them, but you gotta take care of this house. And then, you know, Allegra, daughter, and Trudy were like, nah, I think we're good. And so they left, setting the house ablaze. Everyone's dead in the house. Trudy actually got shot by one of the lead guys from that whole group. He turned around, shot her, and she shot him back, and that's how that happened. But, yeah, the whole group's dead. Trudy, Allegra, the daughter, they get in a fucking truck. They talk to the emergency broadcast system. Like, somehow they were able to just get onto that channel and just announce it to the world that, you know, everything's going to be okay, and this is how we're going to live going forward, and blah, blah, blah. End scene, fade to black, whole lot of nothing happening in that whole movie, except for those scenes that we basically just said.
Yeah. That was kind of a bummer.
Yeah. I thought they could have done more with it. They really could have. Yeah, when I watched it, I was, dude, like you. You were checked out from the beginning. I wasn't so checked out like that fast. Like, I got really checked out with Baghead for some reason. I don't know. Maybe I just wasn't in the mood to watch it, but I watched this and I'm like, I don't know. What's going on here? I think we're like batting zero like so these past 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah, it's classified as, like, it's on Shudder. It's a Shudder film, so I'm like, you know, this is going to be a horror movie. It didn't feel like a horror movie to me until, like, the last maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah, I can see that.
So I was like, oh, fuck. We watched this movie, and we have a horror podcast. How are we supposed to talk about this?
Yeah, you know, I was kind of thinking the same thing at the beginning. I was trying to think of how this is considered horror, or, like, I'm trying to understand, like, where the horror element is in this movie, because it just started off kind of like, you know, apocalyptic type world with the new, like, almost founding fathers or whatever you want to call them. I can't remember. But that's what I was kind of thinking. I was having a hard time trying to piece together the puzzle and figure out where the horror is in this. And then we figured out that the horror was the KKK, and then some KKK shit went down there at the house. That's pretty much what I was gathering out of it. Yeah. And then ghosts and whatever. Whole lot of nothing happening in this movie. Corey, I think we should just get into it. What do you give History of Evil?
So this gets a 1 out of 5 for me.
Wow. All right. Let's go.
This movie was so fucking boring. It felt so much longer than, I think it was 1 hour and 38 minutes. It just dragged and dragged. Mm. Nothing really happens at all until the last few minutes. Honestly, Steve, this was another one that had me continuously looking at the runtime to see how much longer I had to watch it.
Yeah, that's bad news. You know, when you're fucking looking at the time and you're like, when is this thing going to end? That you've already lost the movie. The movie's already lost you. It's no good. So 1 out of 5. Yeah, that's no good. That's definitely bad. So I think I'll just stick with my original score. I said 2 out of 5. I thought there was some redeeming parts to it, but I think it was just a mix between Amityville Horror, The Shining, and like I said, The Purge. Mine is pretty much most of the good parts. Very slow, which makes to build good dread. Like the story of the country being under that weird police state was interesting for the most part, but kind of what I was saying, more of the same. We've seen it before. We've seen all this before. Nothing really stuck out like, oh, this is a unique story. The only unique thing about it was the setting and of that police state. Other than that, like, we didn't get a lot of detail why this was happening. And I almost felt like we just kind of jumped into it. Like, this is the world now. And now we're in a house.
So that's basically like what disconnect. It was.
Yeah.
And I mean, the only backstory we got, like you said before, and I completely forgot about, was the text in the beginning on the black screen right before the movie started.
Yeah. Blink and you miss it.
Yeah. Obviously, yeah, so, I blinked.
Yep. And you missed. So that's exactly what happened. You have to make sure you pay attention to that, like, 3 lines of text at the very beginning that sets the tone of, like, what's happening, why they're in that political type state at the moment. So if you don't pay attention to that, you're going to be like, okay, it's just a house that's scary and shit's happening, weird shit's happening, and I don't know, it's like the end of the world or whatever bullshit. That's really it. So 1 out of 5 for Corey, 2 out of 5 for me. We'll split the difference. You know what? Fuck it. 1 out of 5. I'm just going to call it a 1 out of 5 movie.
Did you just drop your rating?
Sure. Why not? You know?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing really redeeming about this. I was kind of bored. I was watching it, just taking bullshit notes. If I'm taking bullshit notes, I'm really just trying to fill up time.
Yeah, I didn't know what to write. Like, I didn't know what to say. I was like, hey, I want to talk about this on the podcast. Like, there was none of that.
Yeah. No, there was nothing that was remotely, like, wanting you to write about. It was just like, there was nothing. Ooh, okay, great. You know, I want to talk about this part. Nothing. It was just whatever. That's all it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm never going to watch it again. I'm done.
Yeah, I don't see myself watching it. Let me ask you this, though. Did you think the quality was weird in this movie? Like, were you experiencing any weird issues with Shudder?
Not weird issues, but I mean, it was definitely grainy. And
yeah, it looked really grainy.
Yeah, I think that's just the way that it was shot for whatever reason, but...
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I've seen people take better movies with their iPhones. Just saying.
You're right.
I'm absolutely right. I've seen a movie fucking filmed on a GoPro, too, and that thing was a banger.
Really? Was it Transformers?
No, it was Hardcore Henry. You
remember
that
formed
movie?
On a GoPro?
I think so. The whole thing was first person.
Well, that was Michael Rooker, right? No. No.
Hardcore
I do
Henry,
remember it, though.
Yeah, that's like
it's like an action movie.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous action movie. It's like it's all first person. It feels like you're watching a fucking video game of a movie, like an action video game movie.
That's right. I completely forgot about this movie. I did see it. Tim Roth.
Yeah, I've seen it once, but it wasn't bad. It was fucking entertaining as anything if you're going to watch an action movie. So it's a one watch and move on. So
yeah.
So I'm going to say this is a one watch and move on, but we review it, so you don't have to fucking watch it. We just recommend don't even bother.
I mean, you can if you're, like, looking for something to watch to make you sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, don't watch this.
Yeah, if you want some weird dreams, but you want something that's going to knock you on your ass and, like, make you go to bed real quick, this might be for you.
Yeah, eat an Eddy and watch this.
Yeah. Oh, ho, ho. Oh. Have an Eddy and watch it? Oh, my God. You're going to be watching the Burning Cross scene and go... What's happening right now? Am I here?
Make a grilled cheese, too, while you're at it.
No, I'm not doing that ever again.
Melting your couch.
Fucking melting on the couch and in the pan. I'll be just so fucking eddied out that I sit in the pan that's on the stove thinking like, is this, I'm supposed to melt, bro.
You just cook yourself instead?
Just cook myself. Like, why is this hot, man?
You might get on a list for that one.
What, eating Eddie's?
Talking about cooking yourself.
Maybe. I don't know. Perhaps. Somewhere I'm on some sort of list.
Mm-hmm. I'm on a list now for giving Headless a 5 out of 5.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so. And then saying that Serbian film is a masterpiece.
I never said that.
I think you implied it. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30ScreamsOrLess.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out BeardOctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30Screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30ScreamsOrLess@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30ScreamsOrLess. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans. Welcome, everyone, to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review that. I just got all tripped up there.
Don't edit that out.
Why?
Because it's funny.
That's a blooper then.
Okay. Fuck it.
Blooper. Fuck it. Doing it live.
Yeah.
Yeah.